Chapter 2. The 19th of June, 1936. Joe Louis enters the ring. Joseph Louis Barrow, or Joe Louis as he called himself, entered the ring and the crowd roared like hungry lions. Louis was the most exciting thing that had happened in the world of boxing in 20 years. Even today, many experts still regard him as the greatest boxer of all time. Joe looked quickly at Max and then at the floor as he had been instructed. His manager had taught him to appear calm and modest at all times. Joe was closer than he had ever been to the world title, but from the beginning he knew that his biggest enemy would be his colour. Louis was a black man in a sport owned and run by white men. For 20 years, since the legendary black boxing champion Jack Johnson, no other black boxer had been given a chance to win the world heavyweight title. His trainer, Jack Blackburn, still didn't really believe that Joe would be given that opportunity. Joe was very talented and had an unusually powerful punch, but a few influential men controlled boxing, and they had sworn never again to suffer the humiliation of a black world champion. Blackburn had also been a great boxer in his day and knew as much about the sport as any man alive. Although he thought he was wasting his time, he had agreed to train Joe because he needed the money. He taught his star student many things, but most important of all was never to let the fight go to a judge's decision. The judges will always rule against a black man, he warned. Always knock your opponents out. Let your fists be your judges. Joe looked at the audience in Yankee Stadium and saw his mother, Lily. This was the first time she had come to one of his fights, and she was very nervous. Hers had not been an easy life. Joe was her seventh child, born on the 13th of May 1914 in a hut in Lafayette, Alabama, where she lived with her husband, Monroe Barrow. When Joe was only two, his father was put into a mental institution. Soon after, his mother was told that he was dead, and she later married a man called Pat Brooks. Joe always thought of Pat as his real father. The family moved to Detroit, Michigan in 1926, where Pat found work building Ford motor cars. Joe was a quiet student. His mother decided that his hands would bring him a future and gave him money for violin lessons. However, Joe never learned to play the violin. A friend persuaded him to take the money to the local gym and learn to box instead, a much more macho hobby. To help his family, Joe worked in tough manual jobs, carrying ice and constructing cars. This made him strong, and soon he looked like he was born to box. Joe began to enter boxing competitions and progressed well. Finally, his mother discovered his secret. Her son was never going to be a violin player, but he might find fame and fortune in the world of boxing. Lily Brooks was a devout Christian and knew nothing about boxing, but she believed in her son. She told him that if boxing was to be his choice, he should do it as well as he could. In 1934, the leading boxing promoter Mike Jacobs signed Joe up as a professional boxer. Blackburn became his trainer, and Joe knew he was going in the right direction. In the same year, Joe beat two former world champions. A year later, he married Marva Trotter. He was not a good husband and had many girlfriends. Joe and Marva divorced, remarried and divorced again. Apart from Marva, he had two other wives. While Joe had always been a hero to American blacks, the white boxing fans were slower to accept him. Jacobs arranged for articles and photographs of Joe Louis to be printed in newspapers, usually read by white people. One famous picture showed him reading from his mother's Bible. Another showed Joe giving his mother the keys to a house he had bought her with his winnings. Readers were told that Joe was carefully saving up his money for his retirement. In reality, only the story of the house was true. Joe rarely read anything and spent money as quickly as he earned it. Joe's promoters gave him a list of rules to follow. These included living a clean life, not being seen with white women, not laughing at defeated opponents, and generally being a good black man. They were not racists. Most of them were blacks themselves. But they knew that if Joe wanted a chance to fight for the heavyweight title, he had to show the world that he was different from the previous black boxing champion, the legendary but controversial Jack Johnson, who did not obey these rules. As a boxer, Joe Louis seemed unstoppable. Experienced fighters were afraid to step into the ring with him. One was dragged there from the bathroom where he was hiding, and another begged the referee to tell Joe to stop hitting him. The only man who seemed to be unafraid of the brown bomber was Max Schmeling. A few days before the fight, he smiled and told boxing journalists that he had seen a weakness in Joe Louis's boxing. The journalists were skeptical, but very interested in the result of this match. Schmeling stood between Joe Louis and a title fight against Jim Braddock. Braddock was not considered a dangerous world champion, and most experts agreed that the first good fighter to meet him would take his belt. Was this going to be Joe Louis's next achievement?